Well, please turn with me to Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that speaketh very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of these kingdoms are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Okay, that's good. I'll stop here with this verse, and Lord willing, we'll continue the next time, I guess, with chapter 8. I apologize because my mind was definitely on chapter 8 this evening. Let's just recollect for a minute before we're going to go into this passage, this, the interpretation. You remember what we said, especially that the importance of understanding that Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 are really going alongside each other. You must read Daniel 2 with Daniel chapter 7 together. We said that in Daniel chapter 7, really, Daniel was the one who received the dream, and the interpretation was given to him by the angel. And so as Daniel received the dream, it was so important for him, the dream. And if you remember, we have gone from verses 2 to 6, he saw that vision, and in that vision he saw the great sea, he saw the first beast, he saw the second beast, and he saw the third beast in verses 2 to 6. In verse 7 and 8, it was the second vision, and what he saw, the fourth beast. And let me just read this one more time, please. In verse 7, it says here, listen, in verse 7 it says, after this I saw in a night vision, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. Now the fourth beast represents really the Roman Empire. So we have the Babylonian, we had the Medo-Persian, we have the Greeks, and obviously in the fourth beast we have the Roman Empire. It was dreadful and terrible. And if you notice, as we're going to get to interpretation, Daniel was really interested in the fourth beast, and specifically what came out of that fourth beast, which is ultimately the Antichrist himself. And so in the second vision, verses 7 and 8, he saw the fourth beast and the little horn. We covered that. Then in verses 9 to 12, he saw the third vision, and we have been transferred from earth to heaven. And what we saw now in these verses 9 to 12, we saw none else but, as it says here, the Ancient of Days in verse 9. The Ancient of Days did sit. And then if you notice, it says that his garment was white as snow, the hair of his head was like a pure wool, his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels of burning fire. And fiery stream issued and came forth out before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And then it says, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given unto the burning flame of fire. And so verses 9 to 11 and 12 including is the Ancient of Days and ultimately the destruction of that beast. We get a kind of a quick ending to the beast here. We're going to go now and we're going to look exactly how the interpretation came. Let me just read the verse 12. Concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away from them, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So the lion, the bear, and the leopard, which is the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, and the Grecian, ultimately their life was spared, but they intermingled eventually and have entered in, if you will, to be under the fourth beast, the Roman Empire authority. Then verses 13 and 14, they had to do with the second coming of the Messiah, and I think that is correct where we have ended last time in our meeting, where we talked about the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man. And I think that's the question that have been asked. The Son of Man, in Hebrew, Ben Ha'adam, has a reference to the Messiah. Matthew 24, Matthew 25, Matthew 26, we read it last meeting together. The Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. It has to do with the second coming of the Messiah. And you remember what the Hebrew leaders of Israel, when the Messiah claimed, when the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, claimed to be the Messiah, they did not appreciate that. At least they understood that he is calling himself the Son of Man, that he was claiming to be the promised Messiah. That's why the high priest rent his clothes and he said, what is left for us? This blasphemy. Bless me. And eventually they rejected, they did not accept the Messiah and handing him over to the Roman leaders. And then in verse 14, the kingdom of God, there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and it says here, which shall not be passed away, and his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed. What's the difference between the Babylonian kingdom and the Messianic kingdom? The Babylonian kingdom had been destroyed. The Medo-Persian had been destroyed. The Grecian kingdom had been destroyed. But his dominion shall never end. And now, in verse 15, is that where we really begin? Verse 15 to 27, the interpretation. And so Daniel asked his first request in verses 15 and 16. And we covered that as well. If you remember, Daniel was grieved. He said, I was grieved in my spirit and in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So he came near unto one of them that stood by, and he asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and he made me known the interpretation of the thing. So this particular angel that he was speaking with now was going to make known to him the interpretation of the dream. So let's go one by one. First of all, he gave him a summary interpretation in verse 17 and 18. That he says, notice verse 17 and 18, these great beasts, which are four kings, or four kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So what he's saying here is really a summary interpretation here in verse 17 and 18. Those four beasts represent four kingdoms. But what's going to happen at the end? It says here in verse 18, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. And you remember last week, we talked about the saints. Last session together. Saints always apply to believers. There were saints prior to the coming of the Messiah. There were saints at the time of the Messiah. There are saints in this present day. The church believers in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, are called saints. But also there will be the saints in the tribulation period. And those saints that we have a reference here in verse 18 are the Jewish believers. Specifically has to do with the nation of Israel. That one day, the believers, of course, after the tribulation, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Once Israel is going to be restored and they are going to accept the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus, they are those saints in the future day that God is going to give them the kingdom. And so these saints are definitely looking forward in connection with the book in which we are studying, Daniel, has to do with the saints of the nation of Israel in the future. Now in verse 19, here's the second request that Daniel asking from this angel. And so listen, verse 19 to 22. First of all, verse 19 and 20, he wanted to know about the man of sin, this Antichrist, this person that is specifically is being placed before us here. Notice, I would know the truth about the fourth beast. He already learned about the first and second and third, but really he was interested to know specifically, he's zeroing in about the fourth beast, the Roman Empire, and what's the development of the Roman Empire. And notice then, I would know the truth about the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And so he really had an interest to know about that particular fourth beast. And we know from earlier, verse 7 and 8 and so on, that the fourth beast has to do with the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire had various stages. And as we looked at the chart, which I did not bring with me at this evening, we saw how the fourth beast had been diverse from all the others. He had the 10 horns, and then an additional 11th horn came out, and then killed the three, if you will, remain eight horns, and he was that particular little horn that he's speaking about. That was ultimately Daniel is interested in finding about. And so in verse 20, he says, notice, not only he wanted to know of the fourth beast, in verse 19, notice verse 20. Verse 20, he says, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of the horn that had eyes and a mouth that speaking very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Do you notice how he zeroes in all the way to that little horn? He began in verse 19, I would like to know about the fourth beast. But then in verse 20, he's zeroing in, not only I want to know about the 10 horns that were in his head. Then he goes further, he said, but not only this, I wanted to know about the other horn that came up. And then he said, even of the horn that he's before whom three fell, even of that horn that had these eyes and a mouth that speak very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. You know, he was perhaps so, as it says here earlier, he was so overwhelmed with the vision that he really wanted to know specifically, what about this little horn, the 11th horn that came out of that fourth beast, the Roman Empire? How do we know that he was so overwhelmed? Again, if you go back to verse 14, verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He was so troubled with that because he wanted to know exactly what does that mean. And so verse 19 and verse 20 are really is the desire, the second request of Daniel. I want to know about that particular horn. And notice it says in verse 20, that had eyes and a mouth that speaks very great things. You know, these two expressions, the eyes speak of human intelligence. And the mouth that speaks great things speaks also to us of the fact that he was not speaking great things of praises to God. We're going to see it from other passages of the Bible, but he was really blaspheming and he was really cursing God and God's people. I want you to put a finger here and just turn for a second to two passages that I want you to turn to. First of all, to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. So he wanted to know about this particular person. Revelation 13 tells us about him in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. And I just mentioned some of the things in Revelation 13, verse 3. Everybody got it? Revelation 13, 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, and they gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth. Listen again. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. Now, what are those great things? Verse 5. Great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to that he will continue for 42 months. If you notice, 42 months divided, and you'll see that it's 3.5 years. It is specifically has to do with the second half of the tribulation period. And he continued, verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. See, that little horn of chapter 7 of the fourth beast, it's the same beast that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 13, that speak great things of blasphemy, and he's speaking them against God, he's speaking them against his tabernacle, and he's speaking them against God's people. And that is exactly what the Antichrist, the counterfeit Messiah, will do in that particular tribulation period. Go back now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, here's the apostle now writing to the Thessalonians, warning them that there will be coming an apostasy. Apostasy is coming before there will be that a rapture of the church, before the church is going to be taken out of here. And when something is going to happen, there will be an apostasy, there will be a departure from the truth by professing Christians, if you will. There will be coldness and certain things like that will happen prior to the rapture, before the church is going to be taken. Listen, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1 to 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him. Notice, he's coming, and our gathering together unto him. Verse 2. That ye be not shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as for from us, as that day of Christ, that has to do with the tribulation, this day of Messiah, is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that's the tribulation period, shall not come except there be falling away, and then listen first, and the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, if you just put those scriptures together, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you take those passages together, you notice he's speaking about one man who is going to rise one day. In the future day, it's going to be at the time that he's speaking about the day of Christ, the tribulation period, the day of Messiah. He's going to be the world ruler of that time. He is going to be the final king of the Roman Empire at that particular time. And if you remember, put together, remember what happened in Daniel 2, at the image we saw 10 toes at the bottom. God sent the Son, the Messiah came in the bottom of the image, not at the top, at the head, or the shoulders, or the waist, or the legs. He came, when the Messiah came, at the 10 toes stage, if you will. Same thing with the four beasts that we have here. When the Messiah is going to come at his second coming, he's not going to come in when at the period of the lion time or the bear or the leopard, but he's going to come at that period of time at the end of the revived Roman Empire, which he is eventually is going to deal with that particular Antichrist at the end, at the second coming of the Messiah. Now go back, please, to Daniel chapter 7. In verse 19 and 20, he wanted to know about the men of sin. He wanted to know about the Antichrist. And now notice in verse 21 and 22, the 11th horn, 11th horn that we are reading here about, 11th horn, and his war against the saints. His war against the saints. And I'm reading now verse 21 and 22. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Again, beloved, the saints here in verse 21 are the very same saints that we read earlier in verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. In other words, there will be believers in the tribulation period. He is going to war against the believers in the tribulation period. Some will die, and of course will go to be in the presence of the Lord, but some will remain eventually to take over, being handed over the kingdom by the Messiah himself. So he made war, that horn, he made war again with the saints, he prevailed against them. And then he said, until what? Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So what's going to happen really, if we put it together with other passages of the Old Testament, what the Antichrist is going to do, he is going to war against the saints, specifically against the nation of Israel. He's going to persecute the nation of Israel. He's going to seek to persecute believers in the tribulation period, the saints. And ultimately, he's going to, for a while, being allowed to win the battle against the saints. But then it's only for a period of time. It says here in verse 22, until. His war with the saints and he will prevail against them will be only until a certain time. And what's going to happen? The Ancient of Days will come. And judgment was given to the saints. And for the Most High, and the time came that the saints will possess this earth. You see, he's going to only be allowed to do what he does only for a season. And the time will come and they will receive the kingdom from the Messiah. Israel will finally receive the kingdom from the Messiah and they will finally rule, as it says here, and reign will have an everlasting dominion. I want you again to go back to Revelation 13 one more time. Revelation chapter 13. Again, we are speaking about the Antichrist in the future day. Revelation chapter 13, we are speaking about him warring against the saints. Revelation 13, say in verse 5, as we have read earlier, there was given unto him a mouth to speak great things of blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. In other words, he will be succeeding for 42 months, and the 42 months has specifically connection with the second half of the tribulation period. Then it says in verse 6, and he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God. He blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. But then notice what it says in verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Again, notice Revelation 13, 7 goes very, very beautiful with Daniel chapter 7 and verses 21 and 22. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. God have allowed him to have power. Satan have influenced him. He was, of course, the Antichrist was influenced, of course, by Satan, by pride, blaspheming God, blaspheming the tabernacles of heaven, blaspheming the saints of God, the people who are dwelling there, and warring against the saints, the believers here who will live here in this earth in the tribulation period until a certain time, and there will be an end to it. And as it says in verse 22, the Ancient of Day will come. Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possess the kingdom. The saints shall possess the kingdom. Also, verses 19 to 22, it was his second request, the request of Daniel from the angel. He received the answer, and now, at the end of the verses, we get a detailed interpretation of the dream itself. So let's read now verse 23 to verse 28. In verse 23 to verse 26, we have the fourth beast. Here's a detailed interpretation, and I'm going to give you one verse at a time. First of all, in verse 23a, we see a united stage of the Roman Empire. This is past. Notice that. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all other kingdoms. Now the angel giving him a detailed interpretation. He had given him already a summary interpretation and various information. Now you're going to give him a little bit of detailed interpretation. First of all, in verse 23, he says that the fourth kingdom, the fourth beast is a fourth kingdom, which will be upon this earth, which will be diverse from all the other. This is the united stage of the Roman Empire. When the Roman Empire began, that is what we call a united state. It's diverse from all the others. It was unique. It was different than the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, and the Grecian. Secondly, it's future now. It takes us from the past to the future. And in verse 23 it says that and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it to pieces. You see, now really what we see here in this verse, even though the Roman Empire have possessed in the past quite a lot, it will be much different in the future when the revived Roman Empire, we have just been talking about earlier about how this revived Roman Empire will come about. We were talking about the fact that in Europe we thought in the beginning there was the 10 nations that we thought in the beginning that will speak about the revived Roman Empire. Well, it's no longer 10. They have presently about 15, and they are going on to add many more nations, seems to be, and there will be much more than merely the European Union. It's speaking about the whole world. Notice it says in verse 23, it shall devour not part of the earth, but the whole earth. In other words, there is coming a day when the revived Roman Empire is going to be literally what we would know, what people desire to have it right now, one world union, united world, a whole world which will be united. So that still take us now in verse 23b to the future as far as we are concerned. Verse 23a, past, verse 23b, take us now to the future. One world government stage. One world government stage. It speaks about the whole earth. This expression, the whole earth, I marked it in my notes here in Genesis 8 and verse 9. And Genesis 9 and verse 19. And Genesis 11 and verse 1. This expression, the whole earth, is mentioned. Let me read that for a second. Turn there to Genesis 8. The whole earth, this expression, the whole earth, is mentioned in these chapters. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 9. That has to do when the dove, the raven and the dove was sent from the ark when Noah had been there, you remember? But the dove found no rest. Genesis 8, verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. Listen, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Notice that? You remember when the flood had been here? The flood did not cover only partial parts of this earth, but the whole earth. When the flood came upon this earth, the whole earth had been covered with the flood. Notice chapter 9, verse 19. There are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspreaded. You know, out of the three sons of Noah, what do you think you and I coming here? Some of us are French, some of us are German, some of us are Dutch. Some of us are even Israeli Jewish. We are all these descendants of Shem, Ham, and Yefet, the three sons of Noah. Of them was the whole earth overspread. And that's where you and I, the whole earth, you see, it doesn't speak about certain portion of the earth, but it speaks about the whole earth. Turn to chapter 11 quickly. Verse 1, Genesis 11 and verse 1, it says here, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. The whole earth. And so when Daniel is speaking about the whole earth in the future day, when the Antichrist will rise, if you will, and the Roman Empire will be revived, and so he's really speaking about a time where, as it says here in verse 23b, and he will devour the whole earth, and shall tread upon it and break it in pieces. There will be a future day when the Roman a kingdom will be revived, and it will be really a kingdom that will be united, one world union in the future day. And they really speak about this today. You are everywhere you are. You are, just think about it. I mean, what's happening today? You just go on the internet today, and you can connect, you can communicate everywhere in the world. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. You can be in Israel, you can be in Morocco, you can be in America, in China, everywhere in the world. You can communicate today with everyone in this world. They just go on the www, dot and so on the internet, and you can communicate with everyone. It seemed to be that we are heading into a time, into a period of time in the history of this world, where there will be, in a sense, like one world that will be kind of a united, seeking to have a one world union. Of course, God is out, but this world is going to be united. Now, notice, this is the second stage, one world government stage. Then verse 24, here's the third stage, and that is the 10 division stage, verse 24a. That's still in the future. Verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Again, there was a past stage when the Roman Empire had brought into fruition. Then there is a future one world government stage, which is going to take us to the future. But then again, notice, just like in the image that we saw in Daniel chapter 2, there will be a 10 division stage. So the 10 horns that were on the head of this image, of this beast, representing 10 kingdoms. I don't know how those kingdoms are going to be brought about. You know, again we said, the European market began with, they said 10, and then 15, and then more. But somehow, in a future day, somehow this whole world perhaps is going to be somehow divided into 10 sections. Earlier we have been speaking a little bit about that. We do not know how it's going to come about. But here we have the third stage. It's called the 10 kingdom stage, or 10 division stage. But then notice now quickly, in verse 24b to verse 26, here's the last stage, if you will, and we call it the Antichrist stage. Verse 24b to verse 26. And so notice, verse 24b says, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from all the first. And he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto him, unto his hand, until, listen, a time, and the dividing of a time, or half a time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Again, beloved, just remember, we are speaking about the future days. And if we take it in connection with what we have read here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation chapter 13, this is what we call it, the Antichrist stage, or the we call it false Messiah, counterfeit Messiah stage. He is going to rise, as it says in verse 24b, another shall rise after them. So there will be 10 kings, then one arrives. Now, this one that is arising, what does he do? He's going to be, first of all, he's going to be diverse from all of them. And somehow, he's going to subdue 3 kings. He's going to kill them. They perhaps did not want to get to be subject to him. He's going to subdue those 3 kings. The other 7 will submit to him. Can I have just for a second this picture here that you have there, right on your left here? Just for a second. If you remember this, I gave you this. I hope all of you have. This is the Roman little horn in the time of the end, Revelation 13 verses 1 to 10. And here what we see, we have only 8 horns remain, because he is that little one. 3 have been subdued to him. 7 remain, which are right now subject to his authority. And so if you just imagine the little horn, or if you want to call it the Antichrist stage, he is going to rise and take in a powerful way, and in a special way, he'll be able to somehow succeed to take control over the ten in the beginning. Then some perhaps will resist him. Then he's going to subdue the three. The rest of them are going to have to be subject to him. And eventually, he is the one who's going to be speaking blasphemy against God. He is the one who's going to sit at the temple in Jerusalem, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, claiming himself to be God. Now notice in these verses. Verse 25, we see his activities. And his activity is going to be specifically in the second half of the tribulation. Why not in the first half? Because in the first half, if you remember when we studied Revelation chapter 6 and on, what happened? He's going to appear very nice. He's going to appear very, very nice. He's going to be like the one who ride on the white horse that we read of him in the beginning of Revelation chapter 6 and so on. He's going to be like the man of peace. He's going to try to make peace in this world. He's going to be the leader that everybody seems to look for and try to fix everybody's problem. And everybody is going to perhaps follow after him. But in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, he's going to do something that have never happened before, really, in a full sense, like what he's going to do. He's going to break the covenant that he made with Israel. And he's going to have, if you remember, I told you that before, the abomination of desolation, which is spoken by Daniel the prophet, he's going to accomplish or to do that. Daniel, by the way, we'll speak about it in chapter 9. We're going to read it later on when we're going to study that. He's going to in two stages of the abomination of desolation. Number one, stage number one, he's going to have an image of himself there in the temple in Jerusalem. And stage number two is going to have himself situated there, claiming to be God and asking everyone to worship him. And so notice his activities are in verse 25. What he's going to do in the second half of the tribulation, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he will swear will wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change. Notice, he will want to change times and he will want to change laws. Now, this is also interesting. What is that? It is important to see in the context that he's speaking about the Jewish people. He will want to change time and he will want to change laws. And that perhaps has to do with the times and the season and the feast that the Jewish people want to celebrate, the people of Israel. And he will want to change laws that has to do with the law that God had given to the people of Israel. He would want to change it. He would think, you see, and he think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time. It's 1 year. Times, plural, this is 2 years, this is three together, and a dividing of a time. Now for a minute, turn to chapter 9 of Daniel, Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9 and verse 27. Here's the same man. We're going to get to it when we're going to get to chapter 9. He shall confirm the covenant with the many. This is with the Jewish people. For 1 week. This is for 7 years. And in the middle of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's going to stop the sacrificial system in Jerusalem, in the temple. He made a covenant, but he's going to break the covenant. And then, and for the offspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolator. In other words, he is going to break the covenant, he is going to commit the abomination of desolation, and then eventually he is going to end in judgment. That's what we learn from Daniel chapter 7, as well as from Daniel chapter 9. And so back to chapter 7. This expression, a time and times and the dividing of a times, is not only mentioned here, but is also mentioned in the book of Revelation. If you write this down, Revelation 11 and verse 2, Revelation 12 and verse 6 and 14, in Revelation chapter 13, where we read 42 months, 3.5 years, and verse 5. So this period is basically in the middle of the tribulation. Daniel 9:27, in middle of 73.5. Revelation 13, 5, what we read, 42 months, 3.5 years. We are speaking about the same time. And specifically, those verses have to do with the second half of the tribulation period. And so, in verse 26 now, the anti-Messiah will be punished. The counterfeit Messiah, the Antichrist, eventually is going to be punished. And so, verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. You see, he's going to have power, he's going to have dominion only for a season. Only for a season. And eventually, judgment shall sit. And then it says here, they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it even unto the end. And so that little horn that we looked at here, which came out of this fourth beast, the Roman Empire, will also have an end. Just the same like the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, ultimately the Roman Empire also will have an end, because finally the Messiah himself is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now notice the kingdom of God in verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto, again I want you to notice, the people of the saints of the Most High. Again, the kingdom will be given to the Jewish people in the future day, the nation of Israel, who is going to be re-established nation, a revived nation, a nation that will be, all the people who are going to be reigning there with the Messiah are going to be a people, Jewish people, who are going to be saved, a nation that is redeemed. And so the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. You notice this expression here, shall be given. You know, sometimes I hear people saying that the church is going to be the one who is going to take over this world by power somehow. And you know, you never find this in the scriptures. In the scripture you find out that the church is a heavenly company. The church, God had given us a home in heaven, a link with a head in heaven, the Messiah in heaven. And the kingdom, the church is not going, the one who's going to bring about the kingdom. You know, I hear this expression sometimes on the radio or by Christians who believe that the church is this particular, the saints here in Daniel 7 is the church age saints. I don't believe so. That's not what the Bible teaches. The concern that we have here in the scripture deals with the nation of Israel, who are going to be restored in the future day. They are the one who are called the saints of the Most High, or they should be called the people of the saints of the Most High. This is the nation of Israel who is going to be restored and revived in the future day, whom the Lord will hand over and give them the kingdom. And it was given. Nobody takes it. It was given unto them. They did not take it. It was given unto the people of the saints of the Most High. Yeah, well, the people of the saints. Well, if we call it if the saints is the people of God, how do we distinguish between the people of the saints? Well, the saints also, don't forget, the saints in the future day will have descendants as well. And it's almost like double time saying the people which belong to the saints, to the sanctified company, are the ones that are going to receive this everlasting kingdom.
Can you be part of the remnant?
Well, this will be as well the remnant of Israel in the future day. But remember that the rest of the nation of Israel are not saved until the end of the tribulation. But sometime during the tribulation, there will be saints in this earth. Those are the saints. Some of them will die. Revelation 13, we read it. Some of them will remain and will enter into the kingdom. And together with the redeemed nation of Israel, the rest of the redeemed nation of Israel, they are going to be the one that will have this everlasting kingdom. You know what we need to read also, just to see that? Turn to the, just back a book, one book back, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. It'll be just a couple of verses that come to my mind that has to do with the saints and with the people of Israel in a future day. Ezekiel 36. I just read a couple of verses that verse 19. Revelation 30, Ezekiel 36 verse 19. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And when they entered into the heathens whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Verse 24, and I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony hearts out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and I lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the trees and increase the field and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. Not for your sake do I this, says the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confound for your own way, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I also will cause you to dwell in the city, and in the wastes shall be and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, where is it laid desolate in the sight of all that pass by, and so on. You read verse 37. Thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I mean, there's so many verses to read that has to do with the restoration of Israel. And so when we're talking about the saints of Daniel chapter 7, or the people of the saints, Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, we are dealing with a restored nation, when the nation of Israel will finally be restored. And so now the last verse, and we're going to close with it, is in verse 28. The conclusion is simply this. Listen, three effects on Daniel. Once he discovered what is the interpretation, there are three effects on him. Number one, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, number one, my thoughts much trouble me. The first thing that we find out, that his thoughts really trouble him when he looked at what's going to happen in a future day. And when you look over specifically the fourth beast and the ten horns and the little horn and eventually the blaspheming and so on and what he's going to do, he's going to war against the saint. That what's happened, it's troubled the thoughts of Daniel. Second effect is in this verse also, and my countenance changed. I guess Daniel's countenance changed when he heard of what this angel said to him concerning the interpretation of this dream. His face, countenance changed. And finally, the third effect is that I kept the matter in my heart. It was so unique what he had heard. He kept it in his heart. His face was changed. His thoughts trouble him. And this is the three effects that happened on Daniel as a consequence of the interpretation of the dream of the four beasts. And with this we conclude chapter 7, and you can see very well how chapter 7 and chapter 2 are going along together with chapter 13 and chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. 2:7 of Daniel, 13:17 of Revelation, going parallel alongside. As we studied the two in the past, we could see how it much connects with these two chapters here. Well, we'll stop with this, brothers and sisters, and next time we'll start chapter 8. And I hope nobody's going to tell me that I didn't finish chapter 7 next time.